Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Jesus Christ is the head of the church. All who are united with Christ are joined by the Spirit to his body. Each local church is an expression of the universal church whose role is to participate in the mission of God to restore all things. Central to the church is the shared experience of the transforming presence of God. The church responds with worship, prayer, proclamation, discipleship, and fellowship, including the practices of water baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism by immersion symbolizes the believer's identification with Christ in his death and his resurrection. The Lord's Supper symbolizes Christ's body and blood and our communion as believers. Shared together, it proclaims his death in anticipation of his return. The Spirit gives all gifts to the church to minister others in love for the purpose of bearing witness to Christ and for the building up of the church.
Thank you. It's the only green I had to wear for St. Patrick's Day. Oh yeah, St. Patrick's Day. Me and Len, we remembered. Yeah. I have no Irish in me, but I like green. Good morning. How are you doing? It's been a great morning so far, hasn't it? Before I jump into this topic du jour, the church, I will just take a moment, like 1 minute, to address the other elephant in the room. And as you heard, for those that were in church last week, you heard that Jamie and I are stepping down as pastors in Steveston and here as well. So I'll just say a couple words, and then we'll be here after the service if you want to come and talk to us or punch us in the face or whatever kind of reaction you have to that. So we are stepping down from co-leading Steveston campus. I'm stepping down from my Ladner responsibilities, and in September. In September this year, we are moving to Tofino, and we are going there for three main reasons. The primary reason, is we just want to take a year of rest, a year, like almost like a sabbatical year, as Jamie recovers from her brain injury and works on her master's degree. So Jamie's taking a 1 year leave of absence from work. We also are moving there because we want to take what we have learned in Steveston about bringing Jesus to others and apply it to a place that has very, very little Christian presence. So we're going there. And then also we just have some things that we've always wanted to work on together, ministry-wise, that we've just never had the time to do. And so we're going to take that year to work on those things. So it was a bittersweet decision, but we feel peace about it. So, yeah. Amen, you're leaving. Amen. Yeah. No, I know. No, amen, we feel peace. It's been good. And you know, there have been people very close to us who have journeyed with us through that decision. It's been August of last year is when we started like discerning this, and so it took us 6 months to discern that this is what God wanted, because we really, really, really didn't want to leave our church community, and so that was what was holding us back, and then we made the decision, and then the peace came. So, all right, so the church. Let's talk about the church for a moment. It's a POC, Statement of Essential Truths. The church, great job, Hannah Maria. Great job. And I think you are like a foot taller than the last time I saw you. So, yeah. Out of all the topics on the Statement of Essential Truths, this topic of the church probably has the greatest impact on our everyday faith. So, first, let me start with a question. When I say the church, what pops into your mind? People. Okay, what else? Our church. Okay, this church.
Ceremony.
Ceremony, okay. Worship.
Community.
Did you say caring? Okay, I thought I said Karen, and I was like, okay, but caring, got it. Caring, yeah.
Fellowship,
yes.
Accountability,
okay. A lot of good things. So I'm pleased to see that there's a lot of sort of positive words that come to mind. Sometimes you ask that question, and it's not positive thoughts that come to mind. Even just thinking of Leaf's testimony and the sort of the distaste that was left in your mouth after a negative experience with the church, right? So it's not always a positive thought. Some people, you say church, and they think of a building. They think of a cathedral or whatever. There's this really shocking phrase. You can put up the next slide that this the church has. This is Latin, extra ecclesia nulla salus, and it means... The translation is, outside the church, there is no salvation. And we read a statement like that today, and we're like, what? That sounds so arrogant. It sounds so heavy-handed. But here's the interesting thing, is that in all the thousands of years, all the centuries that the church has been in existence, the church has never backed away from that statement. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to a new way of living alongside and in partnership with other followers of Jesus. And so long ago, the church had this expression, extra ecclesia nulla salus. And we look at this and say, that is crazy. It sounds crazy. But here's the thing. This is Douglas Brower says, the church still says that when you announce your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have, at that moment, aligned yourself with every other human being, living or dead, who has ever made that profession of faith. When you announce your faith in Jesus, you become, whether you know it or not, a part of the church. And so, extra ecclesia nulla salus, outside the church there's no salvation, it doesn't mean that there's no salvation unless you come to church on a Sunday morning and sing and listen to a sermon with other people. What it does mean, though, is that when we accept Jesus, when we surrender our lives to Christ, when we receive salvation, we automatically become a part of the body of Christ, the church. And so the reasoning behind the statement is that if we were never a part of the body of Christ, if we are never a part of the church, it means we haven't made that confession of faith and we haven't made that salvation decision in our lives. And so the phrase, outside the church, there's no salvation, it's been a true phrase ever since the ascension of Christ. Now you can go to the next slide. So if you're familiar with the Christian story, you know that the ascent of Jesus, the ascent of the Lord, also means the descent of the Holy Spirit, which we heard about last week. And the Holy Spirit brings with him the power and the gifts that enable the church to fulfill the missional call that Jesus gave when he said, you shall be my witnesses. And he said, go and make disciples. So this is where we get into a little bit about last week's message, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit. So here's a cool thing. In the New Testament, The words baptize and Holy Spirit are together in seven statements, in seven sentences. Seven times in the New Testament, you see baptize and Holy Spirit in the same sentence. Six of those times, Danny talked about last week, six of those times are in the Gospels and Acts. And in those six times, you have Jesus Christ who is, wait, let me back up. Okay, in a baptism, you have a person, an agent like Danny, who is the person doing the baptizing. And then you have the element, the water, that the person is baptized into. Now, six of the times that you see Holy Spirit and baptized in the same sentence, Jesus Christ is the agent, the one doing the baptizing, and the Holy Spirit is the element, the one who the person is baptized into. That's the phrase baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizing someone in the Holy Spirit. But there's another time baptize and Holy Spirit are mentioned in the same sentence, and that's in 1 Corinthians 12:13. And this is where the Apostle Paul says that we are baptized by one Spirit into one body. So in that verse, the Holy Spirit is the agent doing the baptizing, and the body of Christ is the element the person is baptized into. So that is not baptism in the Holy Spirit for the empowering to witness. That is a baptism of incorporation, where at salvation, the Holy Spirit moves into a person's life and baptizes them into the body of Christ or into the church, right? So that's in 1 Corinthians 12:13. That's why we have this shocking phrase, outside the church, there's no salvation. Because when we decide to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the church, the body of Christ. And the physical symbol or the sacrament of this salvation experience and this incorporation into the body of Christ is baptism in water, which we just got to witness today. We had these two baptisms, and this morning we saw, like I said, Danny the agent baptizing Jeff and Leaf into water. And it symbolized the new life they experienced when we die and rise with Christ. It also symbolizes this baptism of incorporation into the body of Christ, into the church. So, Jeff and Leaf didn't join the church when they were baptized. They didn't join the church when they walked through the door and said, I think I'll start coming here. They joined the church when they decided to follow Jesus, because that's when the Holy Spirit moved in and baptized them into the body of Christ. And even, I hope this never happens, but even if Jeff and Leaf never set foot into this church or any church for the rest of their lives, into the church building, I should say, they will still always be a part of the church because they have made a confession of faith. And the Holy Spirit says, welcome to the family with every other person who has ever made that confession through all of history at any time. So, back to Acts. Acts 1:2. This is Gabriel Thackeray who says this. He says that in this launch of the church that we see in Acts 1 and 2, the risen and ascended Lord takes to himself a body on earth with eyes opened to see the Spirit, or opened by the Spirit to see the future. And so we have this, in Acts 1 and 2, we have this new Christian community. And it sees how the world should be. And the church is there to sort of like set up signs in the now that point to the not yet. Right? We're here to say, hey, life can be different. Life can be different than what you might be experiencing in the world today. And we as a church are called to sort of be that sign pointing to like, this is what it can be. The not yet. At least that's what we're supposed to be and do. However, you can go to the next slide. Nowadays, many people kind of have lost sight of that call. I remember a while ago taking some holidays and deciding, I don't think I'll go to church on a Sunday morning. I'm just going to relax. So I relaxed. I took it easy. I had a late breakfast, and I thought, this is incredible. There's so much to do on a Sunday morning. No wonder people don't want to spoil their Sundays by getting up early and going to church. And what has become clear is that many, many people have asked themselves that same question, and they've answered it by staying away from church. To put it even more bluntly, one author says, people today stay away from the church in droves. And do you know the reason people give as to why they are staying away from the church? It is not because they're too busy. According to this study, the reason people give that they stay away from the church is that they feel like the church is irrelevant to their lives, and that the church fails to deliver what it promises. They feel that the church isn't what it claims to be. And in some ways, they're actually kind of correct, because we have this ideal, this invisible church that we're all striving to be, where we're unified and loving each other and serving the world, in a beautiful way. But sometimes that seems just out of reach. And then we have this visible church that everyone can see, and it occasionally embarrasses us when you read some of the stuff in the news that a church does or a person claiming to be a follower of Christ does, and sometimes this visible church says one thing and does another thing. So that's why we have to keep in mind this dual nature of the church. The church is a divine and human institution. Gabriel Fackrey says, it is an earthen vessel subject to the frailties of its membership, subject also to the frailties of all the sociological forces. Yet this earthen vessel carries treasure. God is in the midst of this sinful and finite people. Jesus Christ is truly present by the Spirit to give this body life. And in this community, we are offered communion with the coming God. John Calvin said he always thought of the church as in process. We're not there, but we're getting there. Slowly sometimes, painfully sometimes, but we're striving to become the church that God is calling us to be. But then we have to ask, well, what makes the church the church? Like, what makes a church different from, like, just some club that happens to meet on a Sunday morning? You go to the next slide. Followers of Jesus have always believed that the church exists where Jesus Christ is at the center. And the way that people have known that a particular church was really the church was by looking for what they called the marks of the church. What makes a church a church? And in the New Testament, there really are only two marks of the church. In the New Testament, we see where the church gathers, we see the preaching of the word, and we see the celebration of the sacraments, meaning baptism and the Lord's Supper or communion. And when you have those two things in the New Testament, there you would have a church of Jesus Christ. But although the marks of the church in the New Testament are the preaching of the word and the celebration of the sacraments, unfortunately, today, those are not sort of like the highest things on our list when we look for a church. We have different marks, and both pastors and members have fallen victim to them. Eugene Peterson writes that pastors, he says, this is Eugene Peterson's words, not mine. He says, pastors nowadays have become a company of shopkeepers. And the shops they keep open are, of course, churches. So he writes, they have become preoccupied with shopkeeping concerns. Like, how do I keep the customers happy? How do I lure customers into the door, away from the competitor down the street? How do I package the goods so that customers will keep laying down their money? And some, this is, again, Eugene Peterson, not my words. He says some pastors are very good, very adept at being shopkeepers. Most of them, or some of them, attract a lot of customers, pull in large sums of money, develop good reputations in the community. And yet, no matter what you call it, it's still shopkeeping. But it's not only pastors, members, ourselves, use the language of consumers to describe when they are together at church. What do you call it when you look for a church to attend? Church shopping. Church shopping is the name we give to search for a church home. And so when we move into a new community, we shop for a church that meets our particular needs. Like we're spiritual consumers looking for the right deal. And of course, the church that is successful is going to have just the right combination of products and services to meet my needs. Or when we leave church on a Sunday morning, perhaps you have heard or even said this question: did you get anything out of church today? Or, I didn't get anything out of that. Did you? As though worship takes place primarily to satisfy my personal needs and my preferences. Followers of Jesus today, maybe we have forgotten that for centuries, people worshiped in order to offer themselves to God. And so, the real question that we need to ask ourselves is not, what did I get out of church today? The real question is God pleased with what I offered of myself today? That's the question you need to ask when you walk out of church. But today, the issue isn't what we offer to God. It seems to be, have my needs been met? Or, sometimes, I've heard in various places, in churches I've been a part of, that sometimes Christians, we think of tithing, giving to the church, as payment for services rendered. Right? Sometimes we forget that we are called to give as a thankful response to God who has richly blessed us, but we would rather give out of a sense of, hey, I'm paying for the things I need. I need youth programs for my kids. I need pastoral care for the shut-ins, and so on. And being the well-trained consumers that we are, we want the best value for our dollar. Something has happened to us. We have forgotten what the true marks of the church are. We have forgotten at times what the church is supposed to be. The culture around us may be a consumer-oriented culture, but we as the church are called to be different. We are called to be a community of brothers and sisters and saints. And so the work of the Holy Spirit was and still is to call forth this new community. And it may come as a surprise to us because we often think of the work of the Holy Spirit usually in individual terms, right? Like what the Spirit does in me, for me, through me. And there is an individual sense to salvation, absolutely. But in the New Testament, it's very clear that the Spirit calls forth and equips the church to be the people of God. Most of the commands in the New Testament are actually in the plural. A lot of the ones that we consider to be about me are actually about us, or to us as the church. And so, in answer to the question, why would I come to church on a Sunday morning? The answer is, so I can put myself in the presence of Jesus Christ and be changed by him. It's not that worship is not supposed to be some kind of self-improvement course. It's that in worship, we discover who we really are, and God reminds us that we have a wonderful identity. The Greek word for church, you may have heard or know, is the Greek word ecclesia, and in the New Testament, it is often can be translated called out or called out ones. And so we are the people, the church is the people who has been called out of culture, called out of the world in which we find ourselves for the purpose of establishing something new, a community of faith. And we need to return to that call. So we know that we are called to be a community of believers, but what is the church called to do? Like, what are we actually supposed to do? Like, what's our purpose of the church? You can go to the next slide. Now, you can ask a lot of people this, and you're going to get different answers. But as I read through the New Testament, I see five things that stand out as the purpose of the church. This is why the church is here, right? Like, we're obviously here for something, because if we weren't, then when we made a decision for Christ, why wouldn't God just, whoop, take us out? Take us to heaven right away. No, we're here for a purpose, right? What is the purpose? Well, one purpose is worship. That's Matthew 4:10. We are called to be a people who worship. Another purpose is formation, or sort of the old school world word, discipleship, right? We are called to be formed into the image of Christ, learning to obey the commands of Christ. That's Matthew 28. That's the Great Commission. We are also called to mission. Acts 1:8, called to be my witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses. We are called to community or fellowship. We heard both those words at the beginning, right? That's Acts chapter 2, at the end of Acts chapter 2. We are called also to be a people of compassion or social justice, right? That's Luke 6:36 and James 1:27. So what is the purpose of the church? Why are we here? We are here for worship, for formation, for mission, for community, and for compassion. And perhaps those five words, or whatever words, you know, that we land on, perhaps those five words can be like a filter. If these are indeed the reason why we exist as the church, the reason why we have been called out, then anything we do that does not fulfill one of these purposes is really an abandonment of our calling as the church. Hey, I want to start a church softball team. Great, that's wonderful. Which one of these five purposes do you intend to fill with your church softball team? Can you like articulate that for me? Well, no. Well, then maybe that's not the calling. I'm not saying we shouldn't have a church softball team, because I love softball, but I'm just saying there's got to be a purpose behind it. Maybe it's just simply community, fellowship, right? That's a great purpose. That's one of the reasons we exist. But we just need to recover the sense, and I don't mean we like Lighthouse Church, I mean we as the church in the world. We need to recover this sense of being a people on mission. We are people who have been sent. And if we wonder where it is that we've been sent, the answer is, well, wherever you happen to be at that moment. Wherever you are, you've been sent there to be the people of God. You are the people of God in your workplace. You are the people of God in your home. You are the people of God at the store and on that softball team and in the church. And you are sent. Something happened when the Spirit launched the church. And it was nothing about having dynamic programs, or it wasn't about having interesting activities for people of all ages. It was something more compelling, something more magnetic. The Spirit came among those first people, those first followers of Jesus, and they stopped being this loosely connected group of individuals, and they became a community on a mission. And they started to think of themselves as being on a mission from God, and they started to do extraordinary things. And empowered by the Spirit, they became a force in the world that had no army, but this force eventually took hold of the Roman Empire. That is the same Spirit that we need to capture as the people of God. That is the same Spirit that we need when we think about what does it mean to be the church. So, let's wrap up maybe with song, prayer? Okay, the team's coming up. Okay, I'll call the team up now. That's good. And as the team comes up, let me just pray. Heavenly Father, you have done something miraculous this morning. You have done amazing things, and we have seen the testimony of those amazing things this morning. We have seen people who have symbolically demonstrated their dying and rising in Christ, who have symbolically demonstrated their incorporation into the church of God. And Lord, we recognize that we here in this room are the church, and we are just part of every other church in this region and around the world. Everywhere around the world, God, where people are being baptized, where the word is being preached, is your church, and they are our family. And so, God, I just pray that we can be your people here in Ladner and in Tawasin. I pray, Lord, that you help us to recover the sense of being a part of the body of Christ. May we surrender those selfish, consumeristic outlooks on church. And may we surrender ourselves and our desires so that we can give ourselves to you as your people. So even as we worship right now, God, we offer ourselves to you, and may you be pleased with what we offer as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life, and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at ladnerlife.com. That's www.ladnerlife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.